Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
When the doctor looked at me and said, well, BMI is really a little bit, well, let's just say it's not what you want it to be. And I went, BMI, shmi-mi, I don't care. What is a BMI anyway? He said, well, it's the measurement of your body mass index. Okay. What does it mean? So, well, it's kind of the ratio of how much of your body is, well, fat. I said, okay. He said, well, based on these numbers, 40% of you is fat. So you've got some weight to lose. I did not like how I felt about him calling me fat. That's what I want to talk about in this episode of Leading Leaders. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. Let me clarify a little bit. I didn't like the idea of being called fat. I didn't like the idea that the body mass index was some way of determining, based on my height and weight ratio, that I was fat. See, the challenge was, at the same time he was telling me that, I was playing football for the Air Force. I was working out several hours a day because I was also a firefighter, and we had a gym right in the firehouse. At the time, I was about 195 pounds. I was bench pressing about 315 pounds. I was running several miles a day, not just a qualifier. I'd just come back from Honduras where I was running a 10K once a month. I was thick. I was in better shape than I am now. Of course, that was a couple of years ago too. But based on his little scale, this is how tall you are, this is how wide you are scale, I was fat. And I had a really hard time with that. I had a hard time with the measurement scale. And eventually they came back and said, based on the fact that you're in a job that requires physical fitness and you're spending a whole lot of time taking care of that and drilling on a regular basis, and the fact that you're playing football, we're going to give you what we call a fat waiver. Yes, that's what they called it back then. I'm sure they've changed the name by now because that would hurt someone's feelings and they would complain. But I had what was called a fat waiver. Some called it a weight waiver. And it said basically, even though your height to weight ratio is on the BMI scale way out of whack, we conclude that you are still in moderate condition. Okay, so let me ask you the question. Which one is the better evidence? The actual body fat percentage as measured on the caliper at the bicep and the waist and the chest? Or is it the BMI, which basically looks at two or three quadrants and says, yep, fat. Which one is the facts? Better question. Have you ever met somebody who you think is the picture of perfect health? They run several miles a day. They have a 0% body fat. You can see every muscle in their body when they sneeze. You can see their six pack. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't eat fat foods. They don't eat Twinkies. Never had a Twinkie in their life. And yet they've got 15 different ailments in their body of medical diagnosis, diseases. They die of heart attacks or brain damage, and there's no explanation. So what is the picture of perfect health? Well, that seems to be a very ambiguous question, does it not? I was listening to some research today where one of the individuals said the leading indicator of heart disease is cholesterol. Okay, we've heard that for a couple of decades now. In fact, there are people who say once you have cholesterol issues, or heart problems, the first heart attack, you need to get on cholesterol managing medications. And these are not take it once and you're done. These are lifelong medications. And so you've got to get on these medications. And so you get on these medications and they begin to change your life. Well, in theory, you live longer. In reality, new studies, newer than a couple of decades ago, are now saying that cholesterol is actually part of the protection system for the brain. And so these statin-type drugs that lower the cholesterol in the body, they may prevent some heart attacks, but they cause dementia. Oh. Well, which one would you rather have, I guess, is the question. Is that the question? Or is the real question, why are we shoving drugs down our throat to change our bodies when diet and exercise will do it? I don't know. Is that the question? See, here's the problem with leadership. Whether you're talking about fat or cholesterol or heart attack or diabetes, or, you know, in fact, some people now say that sugar is the biggest cause of Parkinson's and dementia because it's actually diabetes type 3. They don't even want to acknowledge the relationship between cholesterol, just sugar. Refined sugar is a problem. It eats your teeth up. It causes insulin resistance in the body. It causes all kinds of problems, and it is a problem. And ironically enough, it's in everything you eat. In fact, just take an ingredients list of half the food you eat in the United States to another country. Pick one. Any country in Europe, South Africa, Cuba, Brazil, I don't care. Pick one. And measure the ingredients in your food against the ingredients in their food. And you'll find, even when it has the same brand label, Hunt's ketchup is a perfect example. Heinz ketchup. What you buy in the United States versus what you buy in foreign countries, they have different ingredients. Same label, same product, same manufacturer, different ingredients. Interesting. But if you read the ingredients list on a lot of what you buy in the U.S., you'll find that it has a lot of what we would have called 5 years ago neurotoxins. Neurotoxins in my ketchup? Well, that's just silly. Who would even do that? Well, I don't know. The people who sell the antidote to the neurotoxins? I digress. No, I don't. No, this really is the point. See, the challenge with leadership today is that we have so many people who don't want to look at the data and the facts. They don't want to do the research and analyze what is actually true. What are the actual facts? They want to follow the propaganda. They want to follow the media. They want to follow the issues. They want to be on the right side of the issues. I was listening to a great conversation today. I've had to rewind and go back a couple of times just out of shock factor. Between PBD, the Patrick Bet David show, Valuetainment, and Dr. Roland Fryer. And Dr. Roland Fryer is a local here from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, also a professor at Harvard. And as a professor, he did the research on gang violence. And he also did the research on police versus the African-American community. They did not like the research that he found. In fact, he didn't like the research results that he found. When he did this study the first time, he said, that doesn't suit with what I've heard or what I believe to be true. So he did the study again. And the second time around, with a fresh set of research analysts, he came back with the same numbers, the same data, the same facts, the same truths. And Roland said himself, I didn't like the data the first time it came back. The second time it came back, it really, really set me on my heels. I had to ask if this is true. So I got in the police car and I went out on these ride-alongs for a while. And I witnessed what the data said. And what the data said and what I witnessed, they made sense together. But they weren't what everybody else is being told. So now I have a problem. If I tell the world about the data that I found, which he did, he published it, and in his words, you can listen to the podcast, he said, I was 4 minutes after publishing before I first got an email that said, this is a load of crap. And I thought to myself, that's a 150-page research document with 150 pages plus of footnotes and bibliography and resources. How could you possibly have read all 300 pages in 4 minutes to give your opinion? How is that possible? But he said it didn't stop there. The backlash got really, really bad. There were people with big, giant names in politics and big, giant names in business who came back and said, there's no way this is true. You're off your rocker. And he said, I had to take a self-evaluation. But then other bizarre things began to happen. They attacked his character. They attacked his reputation, attacked his family. Why? Because if you don't like the data, You have to discredit the source. I could have easily looked at the doctor and went, BMI, shmi-MI, who are you to call me fat? Look at you. What are you, some kind of skeleton? I could have gone about the business of trying to discredit the doctor, or I could look in the mirror and go, okay, I could use a few pounds to go away, and maybe that last Oreo I should have thrown in the trash instead of in my face. I can take responsibility for it. I can judge the person who gave me the data, or I can look at the data and go, what does it really tell me? Well, the fat waiver, the weight waiver, became the solution. At 190 pounds and 5'8", I was athletic. They didn't see me as fat per se. They said I was in good enough condition to continue to be in the Air Force and continue to play football, but I wasn't my ideal weight. They think I should be 168, for what it's worth. When I got close to that, 168 pounds when I was in high school, I was treated for malnutrition and dehydration. When I got to 173 while I was running 10Ks every month in Honduras, yeah, hospitalized, on an IV, several hours, dehydration, and malnutrition. I was starving myself to keep my weight down there. But my fighting weight, if you will, my playing weight as an active athlete was 190. Right now I'm about 210. Not too far off, but still softer than I want to be. All right, so what are the facts? Well, the facts are I've got a large frame and I do have fat around my middle and I do have fat in places I don't want to have fat and I do need to get rid of that fat and I do need to cut back on the Oreos and my diabetic doctor tells me the same. But most of what they want to do is sell me drugs. Yeah, I have six of them that they tell me I should be taking. I sometimes wonder if I just change my diet, if I just change my exercise and I dropped all the drugs, would I be fatter or skinnier? Would I die sooner or later? Would my mind be clearer a far year? And there are a lot of people who are asking those same questions. Are the cholesterol medications that I'm taking related to my mother's dementia now? Because they diagnosed her diabetic in her 40s as well. Are the cholesterol medications that I'm taking going to ruin the brain that I have? I don't know the answer to that question. But there's some data out there that suggests that's a real concern. See, leaders understand that data doesn't care about your feelings. Facts don't care about your feelings. Facts don't care about the social issues. Facts don't care about who's on which side of the opinion. Facts don't care about your opinion at all. But facts are often misused, disguised, manipulated, straight up hidden. Sometimes the data, well, it's not there to be found until you do more research. Causation is a big issue. But leaders understand that if we don't keep digging until we get the data, if we quit because it's inconvenient, if we quit because BMI doesn't make me feel good, if we quit because someone else's opinion says, yeah, you shouldn't research that anymore, the world doesn't want to know, the world doesn't need to know. That statement by itself ought to tell you there's a really good reason to keep digging into that data. In the interview that I'm mentioning, and I'll find the tag and I'll put it in the description of this video so you can go find it yourself. It's a couple hours long, but it's worth watching. The question is posed to the researcher. What if you did the research on the power of words and realized that the CIA actually writes a lot of the rap lyrics just to create friction between the African-American community or the rap culture and law enforcement? And the researcher kind of sat there stunned and went, what? I could actually see how that would be true. I've never done any research into it. I don't have any idea if it is true. And then they played an interview from Ice Cube from several years ago. And Ice Cube said, what a lot of people don't know is that many of the rap culture labels are owned by people who also own private prisons. Wait, what? Yeah, so they need a customer base. And then he went so far as to say previous attorney generals have actually signed laws that made arresting people easier and long-term prison sentences easier to prosecute, easier to imprison for what was last week a lesser crime. Are we manipulating data? Are we hiding data? Are we ignoring data? Or are we using data to push a political will? Leaders understand that those are exactly the questions we need to be asking. If the data only points one direction, have we done all the research we need to do on this? All right, we've got a new product. It's been offered by someone on the team who says, we really ought to sell this product. This is really, really great. We need to put this in our inventory like tomorrow. We can make so much profit on this. And 6 months in, we realize we've moved a lot of that profit, but there's like no profit margin. We've moved a lot of the product, but there's no profit margin. Why are we still moving it? We're not making any money on it. And after a little digging, a little real research, we realized that the individual who brought the product into the company and put in our inventory to generate profit on actually is, well, owned by somebody in their family. The manufacturing is done by their family. The core product, the original materials, yeah, profits their family. So even though our company's not profiting, their family is. That was a good deal for them, but it wasn't a good deal for us. You want to see some data that really will mess with your head? Go back and look at the chain of possession from raw diamonds to your finger. Look at the profit margins from the time the diamonds are dug out of the ground in the Congo until it's sold to you at your local diamond retailer. Who made the most amount of money? Where's the gap? Because I can tell you, if you pick up a 2-carat diamond walking down the street in the Congo, which you can do. I'm not kidding. They're laying on the ground because they're a resource that has no resourceful value to it. I mean, the most productive thing you can do with a diamond is make drill bits. Everything else is about aesthetics. It's about marketing, and it's about selling it for its quote-unquote intrinsic value, which it really doesn't have. Gold, on the other hand, that's a different story. Cobalt, they found uses for it. Diamonds, drill bits, that's about it. But if you pick up a 2-carat diamond on the street in the Congo and you're not licensed to sell it to a wholesaler, it's no different than picking up a rock of caliche. It's nothing. But if you're licensed to actually sell those to the wholesalers, that 2-carat diamond could be worth $12. And once it gets to the wholesaler, though, then they have the right, the licensed right, permission by the government, to sell it to the manufacturer who will actually refine it and make it into a precious stone. And they'll sell it for $300 or $400. And then they will sell it to the distributor who will actually take it out of the country and move it into a Western civilization. And then they can actually put it in a setting. They can cut it and polish it and mount it and sell it at a retail price. And that 2-carat diamond, if it's cut into, say, a princess cut or an emerald cut, could be anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000, depending on the quality of the stone. Initially, it was a rock. The first person to find it, not licensed, slingshot fodder. I'm going to throw it at a cat. If they're licensed, it's worth $10 to $12. See how that process works? Now let me ask you this question. If you understood that international monetary policy is what dictates whether that 12-year-old who found that stone throws it at a cat or sells it for $12 versus $12,000. It's international policy. It's someone's decision. If that became a fact in your world, if you became aware of that fact, would it change the way you function? See, that's what facts are supposed to do. Leaders are supposed to do their homework. Look at the facts. Forget about your opinions. Forget about your feelings. Forget about the political issues of the day and ask yourself, is this true? And if it is, why is it true? Let's look at the causation. What caused it to be true? And then apply it. What should I do with it? Now that I know that it's a fact, now that I know that this data has been discovered, determined to be true, now I have to apply it. What does it mean to me? And what does it mean if I get to the end of the resources of the data, if I get to the end of my research and I find, well, this is a true fact, and I don't like that it's true. Do I ignore it? Do I hide it? Do I disguise it? Do I misuse that information? Do I lie about it? Or do I go about the business of changing the source of the data? Do I go about the process of discrediting the sender of the message and not the message itself? Or do I go one step further back and say, okay, if there's a reason that this is a fact, can we change the reason? Can we rewrite the policy that says that somebody who finds a 2-carat stone laying on the ground can't convert that to income? Where did that policy come from? Who's it protecting? Who's it resourcing? Who's it discriminating against? Why does the policy exist? See, once you have the facts, now you've got to ask yourself the question, why is it true? I have to acknowledge that it is true. Now the question is, why is it true? And as a good leader, whether it's the profitable products in your company, the people that serve alongside you, the ones that you hire and the ones that you fire, the ones that you keep and the ones that you promote on to somebody else's company, why are they there? What are the facts? What is the data? Not just the degree program. What's the real intelligence they have to offer? Who are they deep inside? What do they bring to the table? Do I look at the resume? Is that facts? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like fiction. But if you've done your homework, you've done the research, you know who the people are. I love the way John Maxwell says it. We tend to hire people for what they know and then fire them for who they are. Why don't you hire them for who they are in the first place? Get to know the facts about who they are. Not just their past, the present, the person. Get to know the person. Not the color of their skin, not their degree program, not the university they graduated from, not the last job they had, but the one they're potential capable of right now. Who are they? What could they do for you? How could you best serve them? That's what a leader does. That's what a leader does. Determine the facts. Figure out which ones are relevant or important, and then apply them without opinion, without feeling, without emotion. And if the facts are not productive, if the data points to something harmful, malicious, countercultural, counter to your own opinion, then ask yourself, is there a chance that I can actually make a change in this world by changing what's causing those facts to be true? How many young people are in prison because laws were written to create a profitable process for the prison? Not to judge society properly, not to deter behavior that is malicious and dangerous, but to look at a particular group of people, a particular culture of people, and go, easy targets, no one will notice, happens every day. If we just lower the bar just a little bit, we can catch more people in the net. What if that's true? How do you feel about that? What has to change to correct that? Is it a problem? Is that an opinion? Or is that a fact? That's what leaders do. Leaders look at the facts, determine the veracity of those facts, apply those facts, and when those facts are counterproductive, countercultural, destructive in somebody else's life, they go about the business of changing what caused the facts in the first place. That doesn't mean attack the messenger. It means figure out why this is true. If you're a good leader, that's part of your calling. It's not just about being profitable. It's about being productive in society. Find the facts. Do the research. Determine whether or not that information is actually beneficial to society as a whole, or it's just something you got to make decisions on today. But don't ignore the facts, don't hide the facts, don't lie about the facts, don't manipulate the facts. They don't care about your feelings. Deal with the facts as they are. Change the ones that can. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.